Welcome to another edition of Strategic Planning for Business Owners. My name is Steve Young. I am a financial advisor for UBS out of the Indianapolis office. I'm part of a team known as the Business Transition Consulting Group, and we focus on helping business owners make wise decisions about their money, their business, and their personal wealth. Today, we're joined by Justin Waring. Justin is an investment strategist with the UBS Global Wealth Management Chief Investment Office. Justin is a contributor to a lot of our intellectual capital and a chief strategist when it comes to working with business owners. He is a wealth of information and knowledge. So we're happy to have you here today. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Super. Well, we're going to get right into it today. We're going to be talking about how business owners look at their companies, things they should be thinking about as they go through the process, and then perhaps some ideas about what to do if and when they decide to sell their business. I'll start out with this one question, Justin. A lot of times I talk to business owners about their companies, and it's interesting the perspective that they have about the value of their company versus the values of investing in the stock market. And ironically, a lot of owners consider their business to be less riskier than the stock market, but you have a little bit of a different perspective. Do you mind sharing that?
Absolutely, Steve. And thanks again for having me. One of the things that is notable about business owners is that they tend to put a lot of their investments and a lot of their resources into their business. They have a lot of control over their company. And because of that control, it can often feel a lot safer to invest in a single business rather than spreading your risk across the entire stock market. The stock market is certainly more volatile or more apparently volatile than the value of your business. But, an investment in the stock market, an investment in a diversified portfolio of many, many different companies is, of course, going to be a bit more reliable, a bit more resilient, and a bit more repeatable returns than an investment in any one company. Now, of course, there are some exceptions. There are some businesses that are just completely rock solid and they're invincible to market cycles and things like that. But those businesses tend to have a lower return expectation than the overall stock market. And so investing in the stocks is often a bit of a shock for business owners that have a sale, that have a liquidity event where they're investing into the stock market because they see that day-to-day volatility. And volatility is often used as shorthand in the investment industry as risk. But it's a bit different than risk because at the end of the day, risk is often, you failing to meet your goals, you failing to grow your wealth fast enough to meet your goals, things like that. And investing only in one company, no matter how well run, you're putting all your eggs in one basket. And so from that perspective, at least, investing in stocks might be more volatile, but in many ways, it might be less risky than investing in a single company.
Yeah, I think that's a very unique perspective that a lot of owners don't have because they are focused on making money with the asset that they know, which is their business. More than likely, they've been running it for a number of years and have become comfortable with the amount of risk that's inside that business. And they look at translating the value of that company into cash that gets invested into the stock market, where in most cases, they don't have as much experience with that. And therefore, it's a little bit more of an unknown risk to them as opposed to a broader allocation across a number of different companies versus being concentrated in one particular company. So as owners are thinking about transitioning ownership and trying to figure out what the value of their business actually is to an outsider, they definitely have an appreciation for what this company is worth to them and to their family. But trying to think about what it's worth to an outside investor or a buyer of their business, there are things that they should be thinking about in determining what that value might be for them as it pertains to their long-term wealth. What are some of the thoughts you have around that, Justin?
Well, when you're looking at how much your company might be worth to others and how much you might want to sell it for, I think the first step always is to decide on what your goals look like and how much is enough for you. And when it comes to the question of enough, there are really five questions that we start with. The first is, of course, what do you want to accomplish in your lifetime? Who are the people that matter the most to you? And what do you want to be able to do for them? What do you want your legacy to be? What are your main concerns? What does failure look like to you? And then last but not least, you know, how do you plan to achieve your life's vision? Is this sale of your business going to be, you know, the prelude to retirement, and this is the last income you're gonna get? In that case, you might need to sell it for more. Or is this just, are you going to be a serial entrepreneur and use these cash sales partially to fund your retirement, but partially to fund the startup of another business down the line? And so obviously, when you're considering what your company is worth, you know, back to our first question, you may not have a very firm idea of what that number is. And so, you know, you're not going to perceive any volatility in the value of your company until you actually start to try to get bids and try to sell it. It's like the valuation of a home. You have some idea of what your home is worth based on what comparable homes nearby are worth. It's probably a lot harder to find a comparable company to your own company because your company has very unique characteristics. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's worth what it's worth to the buyer. And you may not know, you know, may not have a very good idea of what that sale value is until you get an independent valuation and until you actually go to sort of solicit bids from potential buyers.
So again, understanding what the company's worth to you versus all the different goals and objectives you may have, those two numbers may not line up exactly the same. What happens when the value that an owner places on his business or her business doesn't meet up with the value that the market is telling them that their company is worth?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think obviously if the company is worth more to you than to a seller, you probably don't want to sell, but you should ask about why is this worth more to you? What are the hidden benefits that you're seeing? You may want to consider reorienting the books of the company, for example, disentangling your family's income from the business so that you can improve the company's profits, making adjustments so that it looks more attractive to an outside buyer. And that may involve some changes to management. It may involve some changes to your employment, but that's something else that may look attractive to you, but may look unattractive to a potential buyer. But really, you know, there's also alternative transitions that could bring about a higher valuation. So maybe you've been looking at the wrong buyers. Maybe you should be looking for a strategic acquisition, or maybe you should be considering going public. Obviously, you know, you may need to postpone the sale and take those steps to enhance the value of the business to outside valuers. And then the third option is the least fun option, which is if you have more spending needs than you can meet by selling the business for the valuation that you've been given by a thorough analysis of potential buyers, you could still sell and then just kind of reduce your planned spending to bring it in line with the resources that you'll have after the liquidity event. Of course, no one wants to sort of sacrifice the level of their lifestyle, but that might be, you know, an option rather than working forever trying to find the right number in your company. It sometimes is better to retire when you want rather than having exactly the type of retirement that you'd hope for, because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs work well past normal retirement age. And at the end of the day, you know, you're saving money so you can enjoy it in retirement. So it is important to balance, you know, getting exactly the lifestyle you want and having, you know, enough healthy years in your retirement period so that you can really enjoy it.
That's an interesting point. And I'm curious, if, in your opinion, how ready are most owners to actually exit their company?
Yeah. So I think a lot of owners are certainly planning to exit soon. So we looked at some surveys of business owners and by the Business Enterprise Institute, and they said that about 56% of business owners want to exit their company in the next decade. And 81% of them, an even higher amount, want to stop working in their business in the next decade. So they're certainly looking to transition, you know, control, if not ownership, relatively soon. But then we look at, you know, the same survey responses and ask them, you know, how formal have they planned, you know, how far along the way of the path towards selling have they gone? And so, you know, most have actually started. So only about 7.5% of business owners say they haven't taken any steps towards an exit. But on the other end of the spectrum, only about 21% have actually created a written plan to transfer ownership. So there's still a big gap of people somewhere on the spectrum between haven't thought about it yet or have fully implemented a plan. So only about 21% have actually explored whether buyers exist 40% or so have created a business continuity plan or hired a management team that they think can manage the company after they're gone. And then, you know, only 47% have actually talked with their financial advisors about the plan to sell their business. And obviously, only 33% have obtained an actual valuation. So it's not exactly clear. It seems like the most prevalent first steps for business owners are to look at how much they need to sell the business for, to talk about it with their family. And the last things that they do are actually going to solicit bids from potential buyers.
It sounds like there's some major data points that an owner needs to uncover or discover for themselves before they move into that direction. One is, what is the value of the company to them as an owner operator? The second would be, what is the value of the company to a potential buyer? And obviously that could be different depending on the type of buyer. And then probably the next category would be, what do you need your money to do for you after you retire? And that reflects back to a few comments you made a while ago about their goals or objectives, who's important to them, what causes are important to them, how they're going to support their lifestyle, et cetera. Is there a rule of thumb that you're familiar with as to how much money they actually need to clear in order to accomplish their goals?
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of the 4% rule, the idea being that you can afford to spend about 4% of your retirement account and then give yourself a raise every year for the duration of your retirement. That rule of thumb was probably correct at the time that it was first thought of a couple decades ago, but with higher stock market valuations and lower bond yields and higher inflation pressures, it's likely that a sustainable withdrawal rate from your portfolio is going to be a bit lower than that. So probably between 3 and 3.5%. It depends on how long you're planning to retire. But another way of looking at this is that, you know, of the funds that you plan to withdraw from your portfolio, you'd want to have a multiple of about 30 times that amount in order to give yourself a cost of living adjustment every year during your retirement. So if you're spending $500,000 a year to fund 40 years of retirement, then you'd multiply that by 29.7, for example, and you'd need about $14.85 million. Now, the other aspect, of course, about the 4% rule was that it did assume that most people were going to spend about 30 years in retirement. With longer life expectancy, we're really recommending to plan for 40 years of retirement. If you're 65 and your partner is 65, there's a good chance one of you will live to 90. There's a decent chance that one of you live to 100. And it's always important to really get a good understanding about what your specific spending goals are, because this rule of thumb doesn't take into account very lumpy spending. Medical costs tend to rise faster than inflation and things like that. So obviously this is just a starting point for the conversation, but yeah, if you multiply the amount that you need to spend by about 30, that's usually going to be a good starting point to figure out how much you need to clear.
I appreciate you sharing that. I think most of our listeners have heard about that 4% rule, and that's kind of where I was going with the question. Thinking about it in terms of a multiple of your lump sum from the sale of the company, I think changes the perspective. And thinking in terms of 30 times that number to sustain your lifestyle over the remainder of your life is a little bit different way of looking at it. Speaking of a little bit different way of looking at it, as we're out in the market and we're talking to owners who are thinking about going through this process, we see a lot of our peer group talking specifically about asset allocation and how to allocate between stock and bonds and cash and things like that. UBS has a little bit different viewpoint when it comes to allocating assets and is more along the line of strategic purpose than actual, you know, stock, bond, et cetera. Can you talk to us a little bit about that for our listeners?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, every family is really hoping to do three main things. They'd like to be able to meet their expenses no matter what the market is doing. They'd like to be able to confidently retire on time and on plan. And they'd like to leave something to the next generation. And they'd like to potentially fund, you know, charitable gifts that go beyond their own lifetime. So if we think about those different purposes, it's very difficult to find an investment portfolio, an all-in-one investment portfolio, that's going to meet all those goals at the same time. Safety of capital for day-to-day spending isn't going to correlate very well with growing funds that you're not going to spend for 40 years. You know, those should probably be invested in stocks. And the overnight day-to-day spending probably shouldn't be invested in stocks. It probably should be kept in safe assets. So we put forth a framework that we call the Liquidity Longevity Legacy Framework. And the goal is to segment wealth into three different categories so that we can build customized portfolios for each family based on their specific goals and needs, and then implement each of those strategies with an investment approach that's really going to help them maximize their probability of achieving those goals. So it starts with a liquidity strategy, which is essentially cash, bonds, and borrowing capacity to help you get through bear markets, such as the one that we're going through right now. We want to have those assets spending for the next 3 to 5 years. We want to have those assets separated from market risk, because we know that diversified portfolios, even in the worst case bear markets, have historically recovered fully from their losses in 3 to 5 years. So we know that if we can create a buffer between your spending over the next couple of years and stock market risk, then we can help you compound your growth and leave the rest of your portfolio invested for the long term. Next up is the longevity strategy. This is a balanced portfolio that's designed to provide consistent growth and income to help you make sure that you don't outlive your savings. And so this is really the funds that you're going to need for the rest of your life. And ideally, what we're trying to do is create a synthetic paycheck so that we're refilling the liquidity strategy with that consistent growth and income over time. And it's as close to the experience of being, you know, still being in the workforce as possible, because that's what most people are used to. And then the legacy strategy is really, you know, growth-oriented portfolio to try to maximize the amount of wealth that you can give to others. You know, because these funds are not being tapped into for spending during the rest of your lifetime, it can really be invested in a higher allocation to stocks and compound at a much higher growth rate, because you don't have the same concerns about day-to-day market volatility and risk as you might have for funds that you're actively spending during your lifetime. And so by building these different segmented portfolios, what we're able to do is create custom portfolios for every family. And then the size and investment strategy of each of those three silos is going to grow and change as you grow and change. So as your priorities shift in time horizon, this will automatically flow through to your portfolio. It creates a very intuitive way to manage your investments. And certainly for business owners, especially who haven't spent their careers paying that much attention to markets in many cases, this approach can be a lot more intuitive and a little bit less stressful than putting all of your money into a single portfolio and watching it zig and zag. Of course, that's an okay strategy if you can handle it. But for many people, it creates unintended, unwanted emotional stress. And so the Liquidity Longevity Legacy Framework is really designed to help you meet your goals, but also to sort of address some of the discomfort that investors have with investing for the long term.
I would definitely echo those comments. I know we've been involved with a number of cases where clients have gone through the transition of ownership, basically sold their company either to their employees or to a third party, and then retired, and then having a vision of how to allocate those monies over a strategic look as opposed to just purely asset allocation really helped them, especially as we record this podcast in June of 2022. Some would say we're in a bear market right now. Having the framework, especially that liquidity strategy in place, really alleviates a lot of stress and anxiety while we're waiting for markets to determine the direction and eventually reinflate back to where we were prior to the pullback. So very, very good strategy in going into a scenario such as what we just are going through right now. there's a lot here we've talked about, Justin, and there's a lot we can talk about for many, many minutes or even hours about this subject. Everything from valuating a company to making plans to improve the valuations, seeking greater multiples, understanding how to allocate your liquidity after you sell the company. There's just so much we could talk about. And obviously, we're constrained by time on this podcast. So we're going to need to wrap up at this point. But before we do, any last thoughts or comments that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, we are in a bear market right now after the S&P 500 fell more than 20%. I recommend, if you have a moment, to take a look at ubs.com/bearmarketguidebook. On that website, we have historical information about past bear markets and help you get some context and confidence around this. These are the moments when the market is offering a great discount on long-term investments. But if you're trying to live day-to-day out of your portfolio, it can be pretty challenging. And so, yeah, it's a really good time to be talking with Steve and your other advisors about building a liquidity longevity framework and taking advantage of this dip for long-term investment.
We appreciate that. And we're going to leave it here for now. But if you have any questions about anything we've talked about or would like to get more information, either from myself or from Justin, please feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me via email at stephen.young@ubs.com. Or you're always welcome to give me a call at 317-816-1830. And we'll look forward to getting any questions answered for you or furthering providing any additional information. Certainly would be happy to send you the Bear Market Guidebook as well. It's a great read and something I think that everybody should take a look at from time to time, whether we're in a good bear market or a good market. It always makes sense to be prepared. So, Justin, thanks again for your time. Really appreciate you joining me this morning and hope everybody has a great day.